Revelation chapter 17, we're going to talk about in history in the 7th, 8th, and 9th century, we're going to talk about the Islamic invasion that took place at that time. Some of the notes that we're going to use are going to be from a few sermons that I preached maybe 10 years ago also. I don't know if we'll get to all that today, but we'll get to part of it about Rome's birthing Islam. I called it Rome is the mom of Islam. And we won't get to all those notes, but also the similarities between Islam and the Roman Catholic Church. And because there are a number of similarities because of this verse right here in Revelation chapter 17. That's how we know. Revelation chapter 17, verses number 1 through 5. This is how we know how to identify one of Rome's children. How about that? And that's something God gave us that understanding. There's actually, we'll get into the doctrinal issues of it probably next week or the week after. We'll see how far we get here today. But we'll spend a little bit of time on this because really the invasion of Islam into Roman Catholic or into the world, it changed, it created another enemy for Baptists. What you have to understand is that there is always, for Bible-believing Baptists, Bible-believing the baptized believers, those that were the Lord's church, if a new sect arose that wasn't a biblical sect, it was going to end up persecuting the Baptist or the Anabaptist people or whatever you want to call them down through the centuries, any of these people. The Paulicians, the Novatianists, the Donatists, the Albigenses, which we just finished up with, the Henricians, the Waldenses, obviously the biggest group that lasted this entire era, really. I would like to make a different Trail of Blood banner for ourselves that I don't really, like some of his numbers I don't necessarily agree with. I'll put it this way. You have 500, you have the Waldenses starting right around this time. I believe they were back here. I believe they were back there because they claimed their Bible, and where it came from is back here. So you have this, you kind of have somewhat of that right here, but I believe that they started way back here. I believe they started right after the apostles. I believe they were the descendants, so the spiritual descendants of the apostles. I mean, that's where Paul was. He was preaching all over the place. He had men that he sent out from there. I mean, how do you think the faith didn't fall from the sky in that sense and land in their lap, right? It was because God sent men. They followed the New Testament order, and they were persecuted. So where did they run and preach to? When I say run, I don't mean run like just away from the tyranny. They ran to go preach and to start churches. Everywhere they were at, these people, that's what the Baptist people did. You understand what I mean by that. When I say Baptist people, I mean all these people, right? That's these same people. That's what they did. They planted churches wherever they were at. They weren't looking to some big Roman Catholic hierarchy. No, they had New Testament churches they planted. They ordained men and they sent them out to preach the gospel. And they had the scriptures. And that's what different. Why do you think they didn't fall for Rome? Why do you think they were an enemy of Roman Catholicism in that sense? Well, they were an enemy because they preached the Bible. That's why. And why do you think they were an enemy to all men in that sense? Is because they preach the Bible. Now, they love their enemies, but everybody else saw them as an enemy to their kingdom and everything else. Well, because if you wanted to be a god in the state like Rome did in the Roman Empire, well, then they would be. I mean, that's why they crucified Christ, right? The Jews said, we're gonna lose our stature. We're going to lose our nation. And Rome saw, the emperors of Rome saw Jesus Christ as a direct threat to them. Why? Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if the people are going to follow this book and not follow the Roman Emperor as God, that's a problem. Wait, you mean like today? Yeah. Like if you don't follow the government and what they say, then there's a problem. Nothing's changed. See, we live in this 250-year umbrella of protection that God allowed in many ways in America. Like and God did that so the gospel would be sent out all over the world. That's the reason. That was the reason for that. That was the only reason for that. I believe that. I believe God did that on purpose. just like I believe God did, what the things that transpired around this King James Bible in England around 1611 in that time period, during that time, God allowed all that stuff to happen, and God used all those things to get this book. I mean, Rome always got its man, except they weren't able to kill King James that way. Why? Because God was using that man's authority in that crown, in that kingdom over there, so this book would come. That's why. That's the only way you can explain it. I always see things when it comes to that through the eyes of Scripture, not through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why God allowed that to happen the way he did. He made sure it happened that way because he said he was going to preserve his words. And you and I don't get to tell God how he's going to do that. So people say, well, that's not fair. God used the English. Well, the fair's in July. Well, August, this one, yeah. It goes all the way. Yeah, into September. But the fair has nothing to do with it. It's God does what he wants according to his word. Right? God always acts according to his word. And that's what he promised, and that's what he did. I believe it. You got all these other people still looking for it. I got it. I ain't looking for it. I got it right here. And it tells me what Revelation chapter 17 tells me, verses 1 through 5. And this is the rise of Islam that we're going to talk about today, the Islamic invasion and how it affected the entire world. And it affected biblical Christians. But there is a reason for its rise. And we will touch on the conspiracies of the Roman Catholic Church. What's that? That would have been right around here. This time period, which we'll get to here. The 7th, 8th, and 9th centuries. Okay? That's where you have the rise of Islam. That's where you have, in 732, AD 612, you have the Muslim belief system. In 732, you have, the conquering of Islam wasn't able to do what they wanted to do, basically. But I believe what Alberto Rivera said. Now, there are people that doubt his story, and I'm going to talk to you about him again, because when you look at what Islam teaches, it teaches the same thing as Roman Catholicism. Why? It's got the same spirit. It's got the same exact spirit. I'm telling you, there's no difference in that sense. The blueprint is the same. Now, Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Rome, I still believe this, that Rome is the mother of harlots. Roman, by the way, I've been to the Vatican. When you go to the Vatican and you look around, it's like this describes. The golden cup in her hand, the purple, arrayed in purple. I mean, the whole thing, right, Brother Ed? It just describes Rome and then all of her little harlot children that came after. It's a spirit, but it's also literal right there. You can see it. I mean, the city is, you can see the Vatican City is like disgusting. It's gross in that sense because of the idolatry of the city. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray you bless us now as we look through this here. And thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this is from Brother Beller's book, The Collegiate Baptist History Workbook, which, again, I do recommend. It's a great workbook. And he talks about you can't look at Baptist history and ignore the rise of Islam. Like, you can't. World history, when you look at that, you have to talk about that. And when you talk about Baptists, you have to talk about how Islam affected biblical churches and Rome and everything. It was a major shift in the world. And in my opinion, it's no different than the rise of Mormonism. Remember when I did that comparison years ago? Does anybody remember that within Mormonism and Islam? I showed you the similarities of Mormonism and Islam. They're the same. Why? The same spirit. Mormonism is Roman Catholicism repackaged. The Masonic order is Roman Catholicism repackaged. They're all the same. Why? Because they come from the same fountainhead. They are the same. When it says mother of harlots, that's just it. So we're going to give you some historical facts here about Islam, which is important to understand some of those things. Muhammad, number one, Arab leader who unified the Arabic tribes under the god Allah. His followers conquered all of the Middle East, including Jerusalem. Charles Martel, these are key figures that are going to be a part of history. Charles Martel, he was a Frankish prince who defeated the Muslims in the Battle of Poitiers in 732. Bede, who is an English bishop and an early historian of Britain, some people call him the Venerable Bede, and that was a title of honor because he was a great historian and he wrote about things that happened in history. Boniface. Winifred Boniface. The so-called Apostle of Germany. Winifred was born near Credition in Devonshire about the year 680. He became a monk at an early age, went to Germany and baptized thousands of converts for the Roman Catholic institution. Charlemagne, the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, crowned by Pope Leo III. Alcuin, preacher from Britain who advised Charlemagne and opposed the worship of images. So he was against the worship of images and he advised him. The 7th and 8th and 9th centuries were filled with the intrigue and political maneuvering. The Arabians, beginning with Muhammad in AD 612, united under the Muslim belief system, overran the Middle East, gained control of Jerusalem, and would have conquered all of Europe had they not been turned back by Charles Martel in 732. Boniface, an English missionary of the Catholic institution, began his ministry to the German tribes at this time. He supposedly baptized many converts, but Irish missionaries in Germany opposed him. Wonder why? Well, you know why they opposed him. Because they had the gospel, and he was making Catholic converts, and they didn't appreciate that. Right? Because they preached the gospel, so they opposed him. Anyway, it is evident that these Irish missionaries were opposed to Roman Catholic idolatry. Where would they have learned from all those centuries down there, right? Where would they have learned from? They would have learned. These are the same people that got the gospel in places like, from like Patrick and others. And we talked about, I can't remember their names now, but those two other men, and I forgot their names, but that were disciples of Patrick down through. Those people would have been preaching the gospel, and others would have been preaching the gospel in those areas. So the birth of Islam at this time, what does Islam mean? What about Islam? What does it mean? Islam means peaceful or peaceful path. Yeah. Number two, the Quran gives instruction on how to kill unbelievers. The forcible conversion of the world is one of the tenets of the Quran. Well, does that sound familiar? Well, where would that come from? Where would that have come from? The forcible conversion. Jacob, where would that have come from? Rome. Constantine, that's correct. Constantine! Not teen, tine! Right, that's what he told me. Right? Brother Andrew, you remember, don't you? That guy. Not to be confused with that guy. That guy, he said, it's Constantine! What's the matter with you? You don't say Valentine's Day! You say Valentine's Day. Anyway. He didn't like Americans, did he? You Americans. A little bit. You know what I said? I was like, well, I don't like Americans either. I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's where they got it from, right? That forcible religion. Well, these people didn't believe in that. Just like I don't believe in that, you don't believe in that. Why? We have the scriptures. The scriptures tells you you don't kill all non-believers. You know what? As I'm reading the scriptures, they don't show me how to kill unbelievers. There's not some instructions about killing unbelievers, about forcefully converting people, right? They're not. That's not in there anywhere. I wonder why I was. Oh, I know why I wasn't given instructions how to do that. Because I'm not supposed to do that. That's why. That's not biblical Christianity. That's Constantine Christianity. No, that's not loving your enemies. Is it? So Islam, which you'll see, has a lot to do with that. I think it's interesting here. He says in point number three, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the world with over 1 billion adherents worldwide. Isn't that amazing? But it won't be that hard to see that 1 billion unite with the 2 billion Hindus, right? And the 2 billion Roman Catholics to kill you. That won't be very hard to understand, will it? That'll be why they all have the same spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. So Rome, you're going to see them change. Not change their tactics as far as killing. That's going to start again. But you're going to see them change their presentation to unite all of them together. The world will be united against Christ. It already is. But all these phony religions are going to come together and be united against Christ. They have to. That is what democracy looks like. That's right. I'm going to drop some democracy on you. Right? Number four, Islam is distinctly a works religion. Salvation is rewarded for service to Allah. Same thing as Roman Catholicism. You serve the Pope, you go to heaven. If you take the sacraments, you go to heaven. If you do good works, you go to heaven. If you take the Mass, you go to heaven. Maybe. Maybe. Same thing. Number five, Brother Beller makes the point, Allah is not God. Allah is just one God of many Arabian deities. By the way, you've heard Rick Warren and them talk about Chrislam and talk about that, oh, well, it's all the same God. That's what George Bush said, right? It's all the same God. What do you see when you look in the eyes of the Pope? God. That's what Brother Bush said. Right? That's what Brother Bush said, didn't he? You didn't see the video? You need to quit your job and listen to my broadcast all day. That's what you need to do. No, that was a different one. He asked him, he sat down to interview and he asked him, one of the NBC reporters asked him, what do you see when you look? You said when you look at Putin, you see like the devil. What do you see when you look in the eyes of the Pope? God. Well, that's his God. He's only telling you who he serves.
Yep.
He told you the truth. The Pope is the vicar of God on earth to him, right? That's God. He's only saying what every other world leader that kissed the pinky finger says, and every religious leader. I'm glad he admitted it, aren't you? And then I'm looking around at all these fundamental Baptists that are like, that are supporting Brother Bush, and I'm like, did you watch that? I mean, I feel like I'm in a twilight zone when I talk to these people because they look at me like I'm the one that has three eyeballs, and I'm like, you're supporting Brother Bush, and you don't get it. Like he said, the Pope's God. That doesn't concern, like, that doesn't bother you? Maybe that doesn't trouble your conscience, as someone told me. It does. Okay. Number six. Some strange things, Brother Beller says. A, because of the Quran's attitude toward unbelievers, Rape of unbelieving women has long been a standard act for conquering Islamic armies. They treat women like dogs, worse than dogs. Like, that's okay for them. That's why the Pope sent them into Britain. That's why he sends them into different countries. Right? That's why he sends them in there to force amalgamate them and to rape their women and to destroy their nation. Destroy people. That's what they do. Like, that's what he has them do. They do that on purpose. And this is Brother Beller saying this. This is not me saying this. That's Brother Beller just showing you a fact of history. That's what they've always done. And who's done that? The Pope's done that. He sent them in to do that. It's just what they do. And they hate women. You ever seen how they treat women? When I see these Muslim women walking around and Brother Paul's preaching about how Muhammad was a pedophile, which he was. And Brother Paul says that to them. They walk by and they look like they can't believe that Paul would say such a thing, that he would preach that he would say that to them. Because if you said that over in their countries, they'd kill you. Right? They would kill you over there. And they're so shocked because they can't, like, you can't kill us yet for that as easily. Right? They've said, oh, we'd chop your head off in our country for that. Oh, we know. Just like, so you can understand, in this all has to do with modern day times too. Because here you had, we're supposed to be at war with Islam, right? Which the Pope always starts a war with Islam. He creates it, problem, reaction, solution. It's a game, right? So then, like, over in the Middle East, you just like, oh, I killed Al-Qaeda, now Al-Qaeda's our friend, now we killed these guys, now they're our friends, and we just, like, send them billions of dollars worth of stuff, and then we fight them, and then we put them off to the side, and then we use them again, right? What? Yeah, then we destroy ISIS, and then ISIS automatically appears again. Right. Right. So we do that, and they battle back and forth, right? And then we like, wait a minute, but didn't you raise that army up? Yeah, then we left them alone in the desert for a while, gave them some Nikes. And remember, they all had, like, fancy Nikes and Suburbans they were driving. I was like, where'd those dudes in the sand get Suburbans? Man, I can't even afford a brand-new Suburban. Where'd them nomads out there in that land get a brand-new Suburban anyway? Yeah, where'd they get the Nike shoes and Air Jordans? Man, those are expensive. I can't even get those. Right, they just came out, like, where'd they get that at? And then we just happened to, hey, do you like the last plan we had? We flew the plane out of there and all these people are hanging on and they're like dying and sad. I'm not making fun of that. But what I am making fun of is the fact that we left like hundreds of billions of dollars equipment in the sand. And what'd they do with it? Oh, they're going to rise up and they're going to war so we can start another war. And we gave them all the equipment to do it on purpose. What does that sound? Yeah, it sounds like what the Pope did with Islam here. It's the same thing. Do you see why I can't believe in that? I can't, like, wave my American flag and be like, America, yeah. Do you see why I can't do that? Because I don't believe, like, it's all a lie. It's all fake. It's all theater. Because every war just makes rich men rich. That's what it's about. It's about transferring wealth. And what that means is a transfer of wealth means you're going to be poor. That's what that means. That doesn't mean anything else but that. Right? Just like, COVID was an attack on people like you. It was to kill people and to ruin your business and to take away your money and to destroy that so big corporations would own everything more so than they do now. And do you have any Bible for that? Yeah, Revelation chapter 18. It says the merchants of the earth, how they got rich and fat from the whore. And guess who didn't get rich and fat from the whore? You. All right? You ain't getting rich and fat from the whore. You lost some money. That's how it works. Some people might say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm trying to educate you. Listen to me and I'll tell you. I'm trying to show you what I'm talking about. It's plain as day. Just listen and you'll figure it out. It's not that hard. Then you'll look around, you'll step outside the movie and you'll be like, man, I didn't even have to pay money for this while you're eating your popcorn. Ain't none of this real, is it? No. There, I mean, there's real consequences. People really die. Bad stuff really happens. But what the program they're trying to sell you? No, that ain't real. But the consequences are real. That's what I'm trying to. That's what I'm saying. Break free from it and look around. And you'll be like, oh man, these people are a bunch of liars. I can't believe anything they say. No, you can't. Why have you been? I've been telling you that for years. Don't believe it. Right. They're lying to you. You watch. All that equipment we left in the sand over there, we're having another war. It's just waiting for Trump to get in office. We're going to have another war. Trump's like, I'm going to kill ISIS now. After Biden gave him billions of dollars worth of equipment, now I'm going to kill him again. They've always been used as a pawn for war. Ever since their inception, they've always been used for that. That's how it works. It's to keep you busy. And then they want your children to go die in the sand. Like, you go kill, and they want you to go kill brown people over there that you don't even know that are out in the sand driving suburban trucks that they got from somewhere. And Nike shoes that they got from somewhere. And nice jumpsuits. Right? And you're supposed to go kill those people. Why? Because they're out running around in the sand. They're going to kill you. How are they going to get here? Oh, yeah, we left some planes there. Maybe they'll fly here. I don't know. All right, we just left it all there. That was a mistake. Come on. You really think a military-industrial complex, by mistake, leaves hundreds of billions of dollars of equipment in the sand? Are you that? Do you have sand in your brain? Do you really believe that? Well, it was just a calculated mistake. It's a miscalculation of it. No, that's like a mistake you make on your income tax when you mess up and you, oh, I should have done that. No, that was calculated on purpose to get the rage up. So now they got an army over there. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to take all the equipment and we're going to start another war. It's coming. Just wait. And just remember I told you that, right? When it comes and you're like, man, they started another war over there. Yeah, they did. And they used all the equipment that you left over there that you got to pay for. Right? That's how it works. If you're paying attention, you'll figure it out. And then you'll be like, man, these guys are a bunch of liars. Yeah, they are. Okay. So, again, because of the Quran's attitude toward unbelievers, rape of the unbelieving women has long been a standard act for conquering Islamic armies. Next, Muhammad got several revelations from Allah to kill dogs, lots of them, especially black ones. Have you ever seen a Muslim, how they don't like dogs? Oh, they hate them. They freak out. They hate them. Oh, yeah. They hate them bad. They do not like dogs. So have a lot of dogs. It's good. They wouldn't like Sheba. She's a black dog. They're going to kill her. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, armies do that too, yeah. Yeah, because they... But they have a special dislike for them.
Yeah.
Like, if you see what they... Like, they have a special... Like, they freak out. Yeah, I don't like getting bit either. Amen. It hurts. All right. The birth of Islam. The so-called prophet of Islam, Muhammad, was born in Mecca, Arabia, in 570. His parents both died before he reached the age of 7. Muhammad began traveling in the caravans and learning the ways of trade in the Arabian Peninsula. He married at age 25, and in the year 610, he claimed to have his first revelation from the angel Gabriel, which began his transmission of the Quran, the Muslim holy book. Okay? Right? Galatians chapter 1, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. That's what the Bible says. I don't care who came and told you. Paul made sure you understood that according to the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Galatians, that you understand that I don't care who it is. If any angel comes to you and he preaches any other thing than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Muhammad was cursed, right? Or an angel, right? He said, if anything else, right? Because see, there are people writing in Paul's name. They were writing books, counterfeit books in Paul's name and signing their name to it. So Paul made sure they understood, if something is contrary to what I've already said to you and what is here, let him be accursed. Plain and simple. That's important to understand, isn't it? Muhammad began his public ministry and in the beginning was largely rejected by the Arabians. In 621, he was transported by Gabriel, that's in parentheses, my brother Beller, because that's to Jerusalem and back in one night where he met Abraham, Moses, Jesus. Big barrel-chested man like Abraham, that's right. Like Jesse Duplantis said, right? Same thing. All these guys meet Jesus and Abraham and everybody else. Everybody's trying to figure out, what's he talking about barrel-chested for? And you're missing some great broadcasts. When you go on vacation, you should listen to him. Or you should be in the van with us when we're driving down the road. Anyway, he met Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and yes, even taken to heaven where he saw the signs of God. So he went on a magic carpet ride, like Aladdin, to a whole new world. And he went up in the air and he said he went to heaven and hung out there for a little while like Jesse Duplantis did. After being... You ever seen Jesse Duplantis? You have? Rebecca has. Hi, Jesse! That's what he said. That's what happened when he went to heaven, right? Anyway, I won't tell you what I told the other guys, but we'll keep going. After being warned by Gabriel that his kinsmen were plotting to kill him, Muhammad escaped by night and began to lead his nomad band of Muslims. Over a period of 5 years, Muhammad married several more women, fought with Mecca, and collected goods and money plundered from his raids on traveling caravans. In 630, Muhammad marched on Mecca, where the Meccans, surrendered to the messenger of God without a fight. He destroyed the idols around the Kaaba, believed to have been built by Adam. See, the Kaaba, you've seen that black stone, right? That big black stone that's out there in the middle of nowhere called the Kaaba. You ever seen that? Ever seen that's out the Temple Mount? It's supposed to be on the Temple Mount, that big Kaaba. See, they say they're against idol worship, yet they bow the knee and they're there where that Kaaba is. That's an object that you're... Yeah, but Adam built that, so we're allowed to bow down to it. What? It was the only one idol that was allowed to stay. The Kaaba. It's black. And it's a stone that was there. What's that? I think so. Like Joseph Smith looked at his Lucky Peak stone and he translated the golden, what was that? The golden, not the ticket, right? That was Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. I get these people mixed up. I'm sorry. They're what wasn't Charlie in the Chocolate Factory? Well, he didn't have the golden ticket in his hand. What did he have, Jacob? He did have the golden ticket. Oh, Charlie did, but Joseph Smith had the angel moron that showed him. He had the golden tablets, not the golden grams, but the golden tablets. I get these heretics mixed up, and yes, I am making fun of them. I have no problem with that. He had the golden tablets, and he had the Lucky Peak stone, and the Lucky Peak stone is what he used to be able to read, translate the golden tablets. With the something over his head. Yeah, I think he put something over his head. Thank God. But yes, so, which was nothing more than remanufactured Masonic teachings, which is the same thing, which, by the way, black Muslims in America are very much into Islam, are very much into the Masonic order. They have their own Masonic order that they follow. They're all the same. That's the way that's the road back to Rome. That's how it all works. I know it's kind of confusing, but it's a good that you're not a witch, so you don't understand it that well. But you're a Bible believer, and you think it all sounds crazy, because it is. When you leave the plain truth of the scriptures, everything gets insane. That's why that's why our faith is very simple. Right? We have a simple Bible that tells us everything we need to know. But this Muhammad had that Kaaba stone, right? He had that there, and that's what they kept it there, and they worshiped that there. Over a period of 5 years, Muhammad, he married those women. He traveled in caravans. In 630, Muhammad marched on Mecca, and he walked in there. He destroyed the idols around the Kaaba, believed to have been built by Adam, rebuilt by Abraham and Ishmael, rededicated to Allah, and gave the old pagan rites of the Hajj, the pilgrims to Mecca, pilgrimage to Mecca, and Islamic significance. Muhammad died in 632 in Abu Bakr, not Baklava, but Bakr, was elected as his caliph or prophet in his place. In the next 12 years under the next two caliphs, the religion captured Jerusalem, Syria, Egypt, Persia, and Mesopotamia, all by warfare. The next two caliphs continued as their predecessors. They took the areas of North Africa, parts of India, and Spain. The caliph's line continued and wars continued unabated. France, Germany, and the rest of Europe would have surely fallen if it had not been for Charles Martel's victory in 732 at that battle. There was 110 years of Islam and 110 years of Islamic warfare against the rest of the world. Well, sort of. It's still going on today, isn't it? Their plan of action has not changed. All the lands from Turkey to India, from North Africa to Spain, are in the hands of Islam, including the Arabian Peninsula, Mideast, and Persia. Now, why did Rome, and we're going to get to a little bit more history here, but why did the rise of Islam happen? Why did it happen? And Brother Beller gives some reasons for that. He says, number one, the decline of the true churches. You know, America, why are so many of those false religions so popular in America today? Because of the decline of true Bible preaching. Anytime you have a lack of true Bible preaching, you have all the cults and everything else that will, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the gospel is preached, men are saved, and it detracts against the evil that's out there. It's a pushback against evil. Always. It's a pushback against the gates of hell, right? But when it's not preached, when men stop preaching, look what happens. Two, a lack of evangelistic zeal in the Arabian Peninsula. No one was evangelizing there. They weren't preaching and planting churches. They stopped doing it. So what happens when that work stops? Guess what happens? The cults move in. The false religions move in. Roman Catholicism moves in. You have to preach against it. You have to preach. Brother Jacob was telling me about the country over in Thailand, and he knows somebody that's over there and preaching over there. And most of the pastors there over in Thailand, the Baptist, even the Baptist missionaries, correct, that are over there, the Baptist preachers over there, they're not preaching against, is it Buddhism? They're not preaching against Buddhism. So they're preaching the gospel, yes, but they're not preaching against Buddhism and telling people the truth about the errors of that false religion. It's just like not warning against Catholicism, not warning against all those things. What do you have now? You have emergence. You have an emergence of churches that are going back to Rome today. Why do you have that in America? Because Baptists aren't preaching against Rome. I don't really care what the Protestants preach. I'm talking about Baptists. Baptists don't preach against Rome. It used to be that Baptists preached against Rome. And they preached hard against. They made sure you understand that Roman Catholicism is not biblical Christianity. And you can have no truce with Rome. No truce with infant baptism or Rome or anything else. You have to stand firm against it and preach clearly against it. Well, guess what? When you don't preach against those things, Christians think that Buddhism is just like another way to Christ. Those Christians over there, those people that profess to be Christians. So what is Roman Catholicism? Oh, it's just another branch of Christianity. No, it's not. Roman Catholicism is paganism. It's baptized paganism. Well, sprinkled paganism, right? That's all it is. It's pagan. It's heathen. It's heathen worship. And it lines up with all. That's why it can coexist with all those other religions. Guess what it doesn't coexist with? Baptist, biblical Christianity, never coexists with that. In every kingdom, well, you have to ask yourself, well, man, Muslims were around in all these kingdoms and all these other people. What'd they do to these guys? Kill them. Because you can't coexist. You know that picture, coexist? Doesn't work. Works with all the pagan religions. Doesn't work with biblical Christianity. Why? It's exclusive, right? What is that? It excludes all other religions. And it says Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you don't follow him, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And biblical separation and standards and everything else that's followed in the scriptures. These scriptures do not coexist with anything else. They dominate through the truth and say everything else is an error. Right. Because if this book is right, everything else is wrong. Right. That's my position. That's the Bible believer's position, isn't it? This is right and everything else is wrong. You really believe that? Yeah, that's why I preach it. I believe it. That's why I try to live my life by it every day, because I do believe it. I believe this is right and everything else is wrong. And I mean this, the King James Bible, it's right and everything else is wrong. I believe that. Yeah, I specifically believe that. But I won't kill you for it. Because this book, because I believe this book, I believe to love my enemies and to pray for them which despitefully use you and to do good to them. Right? So what's the best thing that we can do for them? Preach to them. Warn them. Tell them the truth. That's the difference. See, Roman Catholicism wants to kill you, just like Islam wants to kill you if you don't believe that. People think, oh, Rome's not like that now. They've changed. They're a lot nicer. Really? What are you smoking? I don't want any of it. It'll make me dumb. Right? They haven't changed a bit. In fact, they're worse. They're better at hiding it. And then they do it through the governments of the world, which the Bible said they would do. Right. It's all right there. When you start reading this and you compare this with the times that you live in, you won't be walking around in confusion. You'll be like, I know what's going on.
Right.
It's right there. All these people are walking around in this state of confusion. It's like, we're not confused. It's the beast. That's what they are. God told me he told me everything they're going to do. Like, I don't feel like I look at the world as like, man, I'm really concerned because I don't understand what's going on here. It's like, oh, I understand full well what's going on. Because God gives us wisdom and he shows us from his word, this is what's going to happen. This is who these people are. This is what they stand for. That's what they are. It's what they do, right? So if you understand that, then you're not fooled by that. So the lack of evangelistic zeal, he calls it soul-winning zeal, but the lack of evangelistic zeal. Yep. I don't remember if he died in war, if he died naturally. I can't remember. We'll get to it probably, but I'm sorry, I don't remember how that was. No, but live by the sword, die by the sword. Look at Alexander the Great. He wasn't that old. He was 33 years old when he died. Luke 33, right? 33, right? That number. Isn't that interesting? He was an Antichrist figure. He died like a little Antichrist. He wanted to be a world dominator, right? Wanted to take over the world. He died. He was a sodomite too, by the way. I bet you they probably thought, if they had the King James Bible at that time, they would have thought the same thing about him, right? Like all these world leaders, all these Caesars and everybody else, man, they got to be the Antichrist. That's what the Waldensians thought. That's the Antichrist right there. Well, they're right. That's a secession of them. That's the beast system, right? Same spirit. So he says that. Number three, he says the outlawing of the Paulicians by the Catholic Church. He said that had an effect on the rise of Islam. He said because if the Paulicians would have been allowed to flourish, perhaps their zeal for the Bible and for souls would have had a greater impact on the Arabians. But what did they do? They were killing them. Now, God allowed it to happen. We understand that. But the Paulicians were preaching the gospel. And those Arabians were getting saved. So what are they going to do? Kill them. Kill them. That's what Roman Catholicism. They outlawed the Paulicians. They outlawed them preaching and they killed them. Just like they did with the Waldenses over in the valleys of Piedmont. Kill them. If you can't beat him, kill him. Or beat him and kill him. You'll get that in a minute. All right? So, Charles Martel's victory over the Muslims. Martel was a Frenchman who gathered an army and formed a line to stop the onslaught of the Muslim forces. Charles Martel means the hammer. Not MC. Well, CM Hammer, not MC Hammer. He was the son of Pepin II, mayor of the palace of Austrasia. On the death of Pepin II in 714, the succession was passed to an infant grandson. A fraction between Austrasian nobles who supported the grandson and those that supported Martel developed over who would lead the country. Charles secured his power through a series of military victories and by winning the loyalty of several important priests and bishops in the Catholic institution. He did it partly by donating lands and money by the founding of abbeys and monasteries. In any event, Charles Martel was waiting for the Muslims when they invaded France. Martel's army defeated the Muslims at the Battle of Poitiers in 732. Charles Martel had a son named Pippin, or Pepin III, who sat as a governor in France. He was crowned king of the Franks and Germans by the Pope, and in exchange, Pippin granted the church a large tract of land that he had taken from the Lombards. This began a long history of donations given to the Roman Catholic institution and instilled the idea of the divine right of Christian kings to confiscated lands of conquered nations. In other words, the Pope's stealing everything. You know the truth of it, that's the way it works, right? So Charlemagne comes on the scene, and Pippin died in 768, and his son Charles the Great became the new king. Pope Leo III successfully defended his office of supreme pontiff with the help of Charles the Great. And in the year 800, in a huge ceremony at St. Peter's Church in Rome, Leo III surprisingly crowned Charles the Great, placing a golden crown on the king's head, while the people shouted, "Long life and victory to our Emperor Charles." Now, after a long time, an emperor was again set up in the West. Charles the Great was from then on known as Charlemagne. He died in 814. His empire, known as the Holy Roman Empire, was never as strong as the old emperors. But the idea of a vast European empire under the charge of a great king has never died. One day, the empire will be revived under the Antichrist kingdom, the revived Roman Empire, right? Lucian, the British preacher who aided Charlemagne in the education of his own children and the children of the privileged in Germany, Alcuin was opposed to the worship of idols as outlined in the Second Council of Nicaea. The advance of the true Christian faith in the 7th, 8th, and 9th centuries is obscure. All writings and histories of Christ's true and persecuted churches were destroyed, while the lives of untold thousands were broken, scattered, and slaughtered. That was the rise of Islam. They would be used as a tool against the true Bible Christians. So, by the way, it's kind of what happened to the Baptists also later on when you had Islam that hated them. You had the Roman Catholic Church that hated them. And then you had the Protestants that ran their governments that wanted to kill them. You know, like Ulrich Zwingli, that bastion of Protestant faith that drowned, gave them their third baptism and drowned the Anabaptists. Well, we told them not to come back. Oh, that's a good reason to kill them. Yeah, I get it. People are like, oh, come on, man. He told them not to come back. All they had to do is comply. I mean, just lay down what you believe. It's their fault. I mean, we would have let them. We would have let them live if they would have just followed us and licked our boots. We wouldn't have murdered them or anything. Anyway, so that was the... and then another forgery came in the Times, and we'll finish with this, and then we will pick up again here next week. We'll cover Islam. I want to talk a little more about the doctrines of Islam and show you how they affected that, but I'll read you another, and we talked about this a little bit maybe, but we'll finish up with this, because it's around the same time was the donation of Constantine, right? One of the most embarrassing situations the Holy Roman and Apostolic Church found itself involved in was the infamous donation of Constantine. There had always been some embarrassing things involving the relics and remains of the saints. This particular embarrassment involved forgery and thievery of the most grotesque nature. In AD 756, the Italian papal states, much of the city of Rome and major areas in western Italy, were officially acquired by the Catholic Church. Oh, meaning they stole it. Anyway. The land transfer was legitimated on the basis of a document supposedly written by the Roman Emperor Constantine in AD 337, which granted all these regions to Pope Sylvester I. Not to be confused with Sylvester the Cat. Pope Sylvester I, Pope from AD 315 to 335, and his successors. For many centuries, the authenticity of the donation of Constantine was not questioned. However, in 1440, Lorenzo Valla published De Clamidio de Falso, I don't know, oh, I can't read this, oh, sorry, oh. I'm going to continue, oh, in English, oh. This discourse on the forgery of the alleged donation of Constantine. Sorry, tried to read the Latin version. What are you laughing at, Mandy? I tried to read the Latin version and it didn't work. Oh, I'm sorry. I collapsed on that one. In this declamation, my Latin is about is a forgery, just like the donation of Constantine. Time. That Italian man is forever in my memory, at least on this side anyway. He noted that, so he found it to be a forgery. Valla argued that the donation was a fraud. He noted that not only was there no record indicating that Pope Sylvester I had been aware of such a gift, but also that the text of the donation contained a number of historical anachronisms. Anachronisms? Thank you. I'm sorry. For instance, it referred to Byzantinia as a province when in the 4th century it was only a city. It referred to temples in Rome that did not yet exist. And finally, it referred to Judea, which also did not yet exist. It is now believed that the donation of Constantine was actually written around AD 750, shortly before the Catholic Church acquired the Papal States and long after Constantine's death. Its true author is unknown. The Catholic Church ceded the Papal States back to Italy in 1929. Only took them like 300 years to give it back. No, really. They kept it for 500 years, said, I think it's time to give it back. We stole it. It was a forgery. By the way, there are a lot of forgeries that Rome did down through the centuries to steal things. The donation of Constantine was proven to be a forgery, just like almost every other thing that they wrote like that. And they wrote it in other, like the learned, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Protocols that they said the Jews wrote that. No, they didn't. The Jesuits wrote that. The Catholic Church wrote that. Whether it was the Jesuits, it was one of the orders. I don't know which one. One of the hellish orders of the Roman Catholic Church wrote that. Not the Jews. But they're always the scapegoat, just like they're going to be for this new push against child trafficking. They're going to be the scapegoat for that. Why? Because some Italian guys got together, some Catholics, made some money, produced a video, and the easiest people that you can out are the Jews for that. But just remember, like I tried to explain to some people before, the Bible says that Jesus looked at them and says, your house is left unto you desolate.
That's right. Yep.
And they said, we have no king but Caesar. And then in AD 70, Titus came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and crushed the temple and destroyed it, leveled it to the ground, right? And the Jews were forever in submission to Rome until, well, they're going to be until the Antichrist kingdom arises and then a man rises up that says that he's this. So the Bible foretold of those things happening. But people like to follow, they look at modern times and they define everything by what they see. Like the Rothschilds are the richest people in the world. No, they're not. The Rothschilds are the bankers for the Vatican. Yes, they're used. Yes, they're evil. Yes, they are all those things. But they don't have more money. They don't have more money than the Pope. They don't have more money. They don't own more land than the Pope. They don't have more property, more money, more finances. I mean, just walk through the Vatican. And you look at it, you look around at it, you're like, and people are all amazed, like, where'd they get this? Where do you think they got it? They stole it. They stole everything they had there. They stole it all. Like, all of it. That's what they did. That's where they got it from. Just like Muhammad, where did he get his stuff from? How did they build Mecca and do all the things that they did? He stole it from the Jews. The caravans that came through the Jews, they robbed him. What's that?
He was a hard
worker. Yeah, he was. I mean, if you ever read the Quran, I wouldn't, but it's kind of stupid. But and also Mein Kampf, that wasn't written by Hitler. It was written by Rome. The newspaper showed the article the day after he died. It said, Adolf Hitler, son of the Roman Catholic Church. dead. He wasn't dead, though. The CIA came out just 4 years ago and said, oh, yeah. Yeah, he didn't really die. We had him over there. By the way, we had him over there in the, where was that at? Argentina? Is that where it was? Somewhere in the mountains there, and that's where he died with his whore. Like he died there of old age with his whore. And, well, but the CIA told us that he was like, you know, this, yeah, I know. I know. They told you Jeffrey Epstein died in prison, too. And that Trump didn't like Epstein, even though he flew on planes with him. Took his 12-year-old son there with him. They told you that, too. When are you going to stop believing these people? They lie. The only thing you can trust is this book. Amen. If you ought to see it through the eyes. We'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about Rome and Islam, and we'll do the comparisons next week, and I'll show you why you can tell they started it and why they started it and how they did. We'll talk about that next week. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for eyes to see from the scriptures, Lord, and a heart to understand that only comes from the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Lord, help us to just believe you and see all the world through the eyes of the scriptures and define it from that. Lord, thank you for your church. And please meet our needs, Lord, as we finish up paying for the tracts and we finish up with the needs of the church, Lord, that you please just help us in with these things this week here. And Lord, as we get out there and hand out 22,000 tracts soon, Lord, please bless us, bless our work, bless all that we do. And thank you for it. Save the lost, Lord. Strengthen the saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.